Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio is the producer. Yep, no Saints shirts here today.
Not today.
Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Our friend and yours, Big Bad Marine, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, sir.
Hello, hello, hello. We are excited about today's program, celebrating Independence Day. We've got much to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the one-year anniversary that Pastor Abedini Saeed is in Iran. His wife gives a compelling interview. You want to hear this? Texas is back at it again. Round two. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Oh, my goodness. Well, fellas, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate Independence Day.
Yes, we are.
Tomorrow. I mean, this is exciting. Now, I have heard of these barbecue and these ribs that, you know, I hear that Chris can throw down. My question is, because I know that besides celebrating and enjoying the Independence Day, the 4th of July with family and friends, you know, a lot of folks I want to remember about our great nation. We're going to be sharing some great things here today with you. But they also like to, you know, have cookouts and, and you know, throw down what they do on the Weber, you know, on the grill. And my understanding is that Chris has some, as they say, skills to pay the bills in that area when it comes to those ribs. But Pat, I don't know. I didn't get an invitation. I didn't see an email in my inbox. I was wondering if you received one.
No, I don't believe I did.
No, okay. Steve, did you?
No, sir.
That's interesting.
You know, I looked in my email and I didn't get one either.
Listen.
You checked your email?
Oh, bam, bam.
Wow. What's this world coming to?
Oh, my goodness. He has email. That's pretty strange for you to be sending an email to yourself. But, I mean, if you need to do that to invite yourself to your own barbecue, Chris, do what you got to do. But, so, Chris, what are the plans for tomorrow?
I really didn't. Don't have
any.
Yeah. Nothing he wants to share with us. Apparently,
nothing he
wants
to share.
Spend some time with the family.
Yeah.
You know, my mother-in-law's in town. So,
okay. Okay.
All right.
You gonna be cooking?
Gonna spend. You know, I don't know. I haven't. Like I said, I haven't really planned on it.
That's
but
cold.
Now that you mention it.
Well, listen. I think that's a great idea you just came up with. I mean, did you hear an idea? I mean, if you want to go ahead and throw down with the ribs and, you know, I know that I don't have a problem eating meat at all. I mean, do you have a problem?
No, not at all.
Steve?
I actually kind of like ribs.
Oh.
Oh. Right.
You know, and if you, you know.
I'll bring some tuna.
Tuna? Leave the tuna. I'll bring the appetite.
And Don, we can. Don will bring the salad.
No, no salad. No salad on the 4th.
No salad on the 4th?
No salad on the 4th. We won't do that. Mm-mm. We won't do that. We will do a nice barbecue maybe at Chris's.
At Chris's.
And you're like all invited.
I love it. I'm there. What time?
That's a good idea. I'll just have to refer you to John. He seems to be my...
Hey, man, we're hooking you up, brother. We're hooking you up.
He's my assistant.
There you go. Happy to assist. Happy to assist. But you know, tomorrow we're celebrating... 237 years. Declaration of Independence was actually not signed July the 4th. It was actually signed July the 1st by the Continental Congress. And it's an amazing document. You know, we're talking about getting together for, you know, cookouts, and so a lot of families do, and get together and have fun and really just have that nice day off where you just kind of celebrate. Love to see a lot of neighborhoods already have flags out. If you have an opportunity and you have a flag or you have a chance, go get a flag. Go put the flag out. And it's just nice to see that. But we're going to be talking about today, Journey to Philadelphia. It's the time that I went to Philadelphia and I had a chance to be there and see where the Constitution was actually written. Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the 27 distinct reasons why we declared independence. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is serious. You know, we're under the rule of King George, and King George had one too many issues, and we were not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take the infringement of rights. And so they wanted to make sure that, listen, we're going to start a new country. We're going to start a new country where everyone can be respected. And we're going to hear more about this. When we come back, we're going to talk about it. Because if we don't understand what the original intent is all about, and especially this 4th of July, this Independence Day, I mean, it'd be wise to know a little bit why we're celebrating what we're celebrating. It's not just a day off. It's not just a day for a barbecue. It's a day to pause and to remember. I mean, it's 237 years. That's nothing. That's nothing. It's almost yesterday in terms of relating to other countries, another, you know, it's nothing. It's a blip on the screen.
Yeah. That's right.
It really is. And so this country, believe it or not, is a fairly, fairly young country, and we want to preserve it because we have these rights that afford us, especially as believers, the opportunity to preach the gospel as a freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And so amongst many other ones. But listen up, and we'll be right back to talk about it. You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of you know, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, it's like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade, you know, and come on. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football, video
fireworks,
games. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I did. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
I don't remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then when you do learn, it's just from really, you know, a worldly perspective. And, you know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ. But now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I am a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now.
Oh.
It's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised. But I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey.
Right,
but I wanted
to
go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to see. I mean, there's so much history, Pat. I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. I mean, just like, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, mm-hmm. think about it, nations in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, look how many people, I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there, or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know.
They don't want nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no. Yeah, when's the last time you've seen them? They're banging the gates. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody want to go over there. Mm-mm. You know, and there's a lot of countries like that. Mm-hmm. But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but, Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd, but we celebrated July 4th, 1776. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution was in 1787. Mm-hmm. And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. We got to go away from the ministry. Oh, yeah. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know? Right. So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document. Mm-hmm. And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth the nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're going to put this on the torch. We're going to put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like, all the radio segments. You can email them. And many, many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner, think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it. Mm-hmm. And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh,
Pat.
Cool.
Pat, this is an amazing document. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. and how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man. Mm-hmm. And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
Right,
this
right.
is the king there. It took men and women with guts, mm-hmm. with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, I won't say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Pat, those words, that wow. all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator.
Mm.
Hello.
Amen.
The acknowledgement of God with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wow. words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them,
mm-hmm.
to secure these rights. Okay? We got to talk about this because really, how many people, myself included, you know, mm-hmm. how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Right.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, take this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about reflipination just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed, okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying wow. it's a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what we're saying is that, what they're saying rather is, it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain. Uh-huh. You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay. Uh-huh. And listen to this. The history, he writes, the history, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, uh-huh. The history of the present king of Great Britain. I'm going to repeat that again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But, Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. And when you think about driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planner, but you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know, but you see little seedlings, you know, or like, you know, green leafy things, all right? Don't laugh at me. But you see green and they're growing. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain. And rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up. Mm-hmm. And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, it's shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case. Right. We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Mm-hmm. He says that. It says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. Mm-hmm. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. He was forcing them.
Right.
Okay? He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England. It's right. Hello, it's a little bias here, right. You know? How can I get a fair new our judicial system, although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resists the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent? And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document, and I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here, and I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Wow.
And then later on he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now these are noble men, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if your leader's like, pay attention, you know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring, God is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes on and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
All right.
Okay? And so it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay? They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Ugh.
Wow.
Ugh. What men?
Talk about commitment.
About commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back, you know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can, mm-hmm. can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them, like, this is not what the founding fathers had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness. There's no law at all. It's like, wait a minute, you can't restrict, you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important. You know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, many of these men, 56 of them signed it. And basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well,
that's right.
off with our heads. You know, they knew they
were taking a big chance.
That's right. You know, when you're committed, when you put your name on it, right?
Amen.
Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know, put your signature on it, you know. And so I just want to encourage, you know, America, I want to encourage the church that this is that. This is our time to appreciate, you know, our country, and we'll be back.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. Are employees mandated to work on Sundays? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the local phone company, and we're being forced to work on Sundays. We're allowed to have reasonable excuses, and mine is always that I go to church on Sunday, and I'm a youth leader, so I need to be there, and they've been telling me it's not a reasonable excuse.
Well, they're absolutely incorrect. A reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious belief. Here, as a Christian, you want to go to church on Sunday. You're a youth leader. You work with the youth group of your church. That's a basis upon which somebody should be covering that shift for you. And they have to make what's called a reasonable accommodation. Now, and what a reasonable accommodation means is that in a situation like this, they have to have other people that can work there, other people that could do your position. Let me get you also in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help right away.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFN Radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now, VFN Radio, that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated. And it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know. And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go like, whoa! You know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call in your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained Just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Well, guys, you know, we just finished hearing and listening about the Declaration of Independence. And it's so important because, you know what, if we don't know the original intent, we're not going to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at this document and how this came to be. I love the first words of this document. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them.
Mm.
A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. I mean, they're just right from the beginning laying it all out, saying, listen, we're not only going to separate, we're going to tell you what's impelling us. Well, you know,
we're
going to let you know. We're going to make it plain in English. We're going to tell you how it is. And the next, I guess, section says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I mean, think of that statement alone, mm-hmm. that all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
That they are endowed by their creator right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning, the founding fathers acknowledge that there's a creator. It's
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them, these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's so important, that the government gets their rights from the people, from their consent, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right from the very beginning, they're making it very, very clear that, listen, this is about we the people,
mm-hmm.
not about you the government.
Right.
And it goes on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what ends? The ends of life, the ends of liberty, and the pursuit of happiness,
mm-hmm.
it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. They're saying, listen, at any time any government gets out of control and forgets
mm-hmm.
or ignores the whole reason here, why we're declaring this,
right.
It is the right of the people to alter it, to change that, to make it right, or
to
abolish
it. Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. And on top of that, to institute a new government,
right.
Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing in its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. I mean, this is in a document that really clears everything up, because you understand there was 27 things that happened, 27 reasons why we wanted to get away from King George and the British government.
Right.
And to see what has happened over the years, and to see that how this country really just came to existence and is still around, it's only a relatively short amount of years, 237 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating the birthday, but you know, the Declaration of Independence, some interesting facts, there's more than one copy. There was 5 copies that were printed by a printer that John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and a couple other guys, they were charged with overseeing the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it printed at a man's printing shop, a Philadelphia printer named John Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there was like about 5 copies that were around. Of course, you know, we have, you know, there's one government, you know, we mm-hmm. have, the government has a copy. My understanding that the state of Texas has a copy.
Really?
One of the constitutions.
Wow. To this day?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, they have, was my understanding. And also, check this out. Most recently, the last two additional copies have been found in the last 25 years. In the last 25 years, yeah. I'm getting this from History.com is doing a whole thing on the Declaration of Independence. And this is what they say. It's very interesting. In 1989, a Philadelphia man found an original Dunlap broadside. This is the original copy. Mm-hmm. In the back of a picture frame he bought at a flea market for $4.
Oh, my God. Wow. I think I heard about that.
In the back of a picture frame that he bought for $4. Get this. One of the few surviving copies from the official first printing of the Declaration. It was in excellent condition. And guess how much it sold for?
Oh, I'm sure it's millions.
$8.1 million. $8.1 million.
Wow.
We're going to flea market this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it's $4 for the picture. I mean, it's just amazing. And then another one, actually, believe it or not, was found in the British National Archives. Apparently, it was captured or something during the Revolutionary War and was preserved in a box. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty interesting when you think about everything that's happened and what happened as a result of the signing of the Constitution and what we're living out today. I mean, it's important. You never thought, like, how much we've taken our Constitution, we've taken the freedom of these countries for granted. Mm-hmm. And here lately, in on VFN Radio, we've been taking the opportunity to educate ourselves on the Constitution, educating ourselves with the Declaration of Independence, and journeying back to understand why our nation was founded. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about a great program and a great movie that we talked about on this program called Monumental.
Monumental. Mm-hmm.
And it really traces it back, mm-hmm, even to the beginning of the Pilgrims, mm-hmm, the Puritans, right, and why they came to this country for religious freedom. I mean, right from the very beginning, it's almost like God had set this country aside and apart. Mm-hmm. And we even have everywhere, God bless America, but the question is right now, is America blessing God?
That's right.
Yeah, we've turned to the blessing and turned away from the God that blessed us.
Come on now. Mm, yeah. I just saw something on Facebook by Dr. Tony Evans, and it's really an interesting caption, but he has a caption that says, "One nation under God." When one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect the consequences. Mm. I'll read that again. When one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect the consequences. Mm. And listen, God's blessed this country.
That's right.
I mean, he's blessed this country. And you put the United States up. I mean, we have states like Texas, states like California, states like Florida, New York, some of these big states, they have bigger economies in these states alone than most of these countries around the world.
I know.
Around the world.
Yeah.
And those are just the states. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, I mean, we're so blessed. And oftentimes people don't realize this until they actually go overseas. And now with, the internet and YouTube and things that you're able to see about how folks really live around the world, you don't have a perspective. You don't have an understanding of really how good you have it. And you're seeing today the erosion of so many rights. You're seeing the erosion of so many. Just recently, there was a minister in Delaware who was told that he couldn't preach. He wanted to do a Sunday sermon at the beach, I believe during the holiday. And he was told by the city manager that he couldn't do it because it was separation of church and state. It's like, this is the freedom of speech. Yeah. There's people cutting up and acting crazy on that beach,
Yeah, exactly.
And someone can't go out there and communicate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you're looking, that's just something, I mean, not minor, but that is just one upon many things that are happening today. And But at the same time, you're seeing a resurgence. You're seeing a lot of Americans that are looking and saying, wait a minute, we don't want this to slip by.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from the break, we're going to have a video from you. You're going to hear from really one of the greatest presidents, I think, that we've had in our nation, President Ronald Reagan. You're going to hear in his own words what he feels about America, and you'll enjoy it.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. Come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you're a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7, 22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you. A simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
Welcome back, VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about the Constitution, and we're talking about what Tony Evans said. And he said, or he's quoted as saying, one nation under God, when one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect the consequences. And we don't want to be a nation apart from God. We want to turn and dial it back. I'm telling you, when we come to a place of repenting, and we want to come to a place of honoring the Lord so that America can last and continue to be a light that we can send missionaries all over the world. And so I want you to listen from one of our presidents, Ronald Reagan, One Nation Under God.
On the eve of our struggle for independence, a man who might have been one of the greatest among the founding fathers, Dr. Joseph Warren, president of the Massachusetts Congress, said to his fellow Americans, "Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves." Well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves. Ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. With the idealism and fair play which are the core of our system and our strength, we can have a strong and prosperous America at peace with itself and the world. So with all the creative energy at our command, let us begin an era of national renewal. Let us renew our determination, our courage, and our strength. And let us renew our faith and our hope. It is time for us to realize that we are too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams. We will again be the exemplar of freedom and a beacon of hope for those who do not now have freedom. We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free.
What a powerful speech here by Ronald Reagan. I mean, former President Ronald Reagan, and he talks about the greatness of our country, the greatness of the United States, and what it stands for, and the people that make up this great nation. But we must never forget as Christians that, listen, it's not always about the country. It's about the people that make up the country, and it's about the people knowing and coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to believers. As believers, we can't raise America above the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. But I tell you that if we hold on to this Constitution that affords us the rights to be free, to worship freely, to speak freely of God, to read and give away Bibles, it's actually illegal in some countries to actually own a Bible. If we continue to stand for these truths, we can continue to share the gospel freely and openly, not only in this country, but in the rest of the world. America needs a transformation, and America needs to bless God. It's time. It's time for a great awakening. Why not start with you?
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back.
You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years in my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective?
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, while Vine, which is Jesus is the Vine,
mm-hmm.
Fellowship is what the church does, and Network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
and John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were, and you didn't fit, and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier.
Mm.
You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.